friends, as already described, the topic of today's discussion is health and hygiene. We all in our lives have been taught by our teachers, by our parents, by the elders about the relationship of health and hygiene. And we all in our life in some way or other have come across the very fact that if there aren't hygienic conditions, it causes ill health, it causes disease. And also, we have realized while meeting our friends, families, relatives, people of different cultures, that the norms of health and the norms of hygiene in particular are different. Something which is hygienic for you may not be hygienic for someone else. However, that being said, there are still standards which every human being follows in terms of hygiene, which is a kind of a universal standard. Now, having this said, it is not only about our hygiene which we are most of the time concerned. We realize after some time that even though you are concerned about your own personal hygiene, you realize that you feel like interacting with people or going to places which are again hygienic. You won't like to sit and eat your food somewhere which is not hygienic. You won't like to meet somebody who is unkempt and not properly presentable. It is some thought which comes to the unconscious mind. And we have also noticed that hygiene factor is also quite closely related to spread of epidemics, to diseases in animals and crops and so on and so forth. Now, if we see the health condition of humanity and people around us, they are tremendously influenced by two things. One is the external situations or factors. The other is something happens in the body, some internal influences or factors. Now, the internal influences, the science could explain in terms of genetics, or it could explain in terms of poor condition of the physical health, in terms of poor deteriorating condition of the body because of age, because of various factors. However, let's say a person has impeccable, perfect hygienic conditions in his life. However, he or she still gets ill and his health or her health is affected. Then how do we explain why such and such event happened? There are many cases wherein people suffer from weird, strange diseases which have no cure. Science has no cure. For example, there is fibromyalgia, in which the entire body's muscles keep on paining, and you take any kind of medicine, it won't help you. Then there is a case of rheumatism, rheumatoid arthritis. There is case of lupus. There is case of various types of cancers which cannot be cured. So one is forced to think at times that why this is happening, even though he or she is maintaining absolute hygienic conditions. Now, in today's date, if you try to explore what the scientists are talking about, you would understand that there is a lot of research going on. But before getting into that research and the results of research, we would also like to understand one aspect, that in each one of our lives, we have gone through situations wherein you would come across a situation wherein you suddenly have a lot of feeling of fear, you have feeling of shame, you have feeling of disgust, you have feeling of punishment, you have feeling of anxiety, stress. All these would bring suddenly a kind of a flush or a kind of a shiver through your body. Even we have noticed when we have extreme anger, a fit of anger, after that you would have a certain kind of a shiver in your body and you would be totally tired. Now, in today's date, there are prominent scientists like Greg Braden, who has written various books. One of the book is Spontaneous Healing of Belief. In this, he says, the power of our thoughts literally alters the structure of matter. It rearranges the atoms and molecules of the physical world. He says, when we change the way we feel and what we believe about our feelings in our hearts, we are changing our electric field, and in it, and in turn, it touches and impacts the electromagnetic field of the universe and rearranges the structure around us. So what scientists have found out, that somehow there is something happening wherein the thoughts of people actually in the physical world alter the physical constituents of the world of matter. Again, there are other scientists and mathematicians like Amit Goswami, Lynn MacTaggart, who have scientific data which has proven how our thoughts have impact on the physical structure of matter. Now, when as humans we go through different kinds of feelings, different kinds of emotions, for example, what actually happens? Every specific thought, as per the scientists, in our mind, there is a chemical process which takes place and a reaction takes place in our body. So thought happens on the plane of mind, and the brain, which has the gray matter and also it has got various gray cells, as known as, every thought or every emotion creates a release of neuropeptides in the brain. Now, neuropeptides are not only in your brain, but they are in all the organs throughout the body. So, if you see, generation of thought, as per scientists, has a direct physical consequence in the human body, and thought is materialized, as per science, into neuropeptides, which is impacting the functioning of the body and is present throughout the body, not only in brain, not only in blood, but in all the organs. Based on this, one of the scientists by the name Roger Callahan did some research, and he realized that thoughts have a corresponding physical manifestation known as neuropeptides, and also an associated electromagnetic energy field, which he coined and termed as thought field. Now, this again results to a very interesting observation, that how would the thoughts of all the people, the entire humanity, cumulatively affect nature and everyone and everything around us. So theosophy teaches us, yes, definitely, the very fact that each one's thought has an impact on each another, and the very fact that this is experienced to some degree or the other, is because that we all are linked, we are all interconnected. Again, the collective thoughts of humanity also result in various conditions which are the cause of natural calamities. Like recently we had a very huge earthquake in Japan, and then we had a second round of earthquake again in Japan. So it's not that, definitely the cause and effect, if you try to understand, it's related to the motion of the earth and it's also related to various factors. But again, it all relates to how the thoughts of the entire humanity are interrelated and how each one is impacted in some way or the other. In this regard, if we try to further dwell and understand, we are taught that Actually, thoughts are nothing but things, and these thoughts are a kind of energy which creates a flash or a picture, so which is further preserved in the astral light. Now, every thought in our day-to-day life which we generate consciously or subconsciously is actually leaving a kind of a seed in the mind, and some of all such seeds would make a larger seed, and this is again associated with a kind of an energy field, and also this sum total is what constitutes the general character, the constitution and the personality of man. In forum answers, WQJ touches upon this aspect to some extent. It has been pointed out that a well-balanced and centered mind is conducive of good health. And this fact has been known since ages. So let's say if a person is of a very cheerful nature and at the same time a very positive attitude, then he or she comes in the room or maybe interacts with you, it brings a kind of a cheerful, happy vibe in everybody with whom they interact. So similarly, if you try to further understand, you will realize the various bodily ailments or the health situations we can further divide for the purpose of our discussion into two classes. One, that is primarily because primarily those that are actually of the nature of our own creation because of our own thoughts, our own imagination, and they have the effect on our body. And on the other side, those which are due to strong physical karma showing out as diseases in the mortal envelope or the physical man. Now the first category, which is primarily because of the nature of the person's constitution, the personality, the thinking patterns, the mental habits, are definitely cured, or the impact of changing your thoughts is felt when the person changes their thought patterns, and at the same time the person tries to come out of that particular state. HPB said that this all is the secret. Half, if not two-thirds, of all our ailings and diseases are the fruit of our imagination and fears. Destroy the latter and give another bent to the former, and nature will do the rest. So, what we understand is that definitely the way we live our lives, the way we act, the way we think, it has a very important impact not only on our lives but also on the lives of people with whom we interact, with whom we also pass on the similar kind of energy. If you consider the words of Lord Buddha, how simple and how full of meaning they are, when he says that all that we are is the result of what we have thought, and all that we are is founded on our thoughts and formed of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with an evil thought, pain pursues him as the wheel of the wagon follows the hoof of the ox that draws it. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. All that we are is founded on our thoughts and formed of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with a pure thought, happiness pursues him like his own shadow that never leaves him. This also implies that as we think, so we act and will act. And as we act and think, so will we suffer or rejoice, and the whole world along with us. In this regard, HPB again says in Voice of Silence, strive with thy thoughts unclean before they overpower thee, use them as they will thee. For if thou sparest them and they take root and grow, know well these thoughts will overpower and kill thee. Now, from this perspective, if you see, then we understand this is what is meant by the hygiene of thoughts. So like we in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, we keep ourselves in good hygienic conditions and our home, our environments. Similarly, it becomes so essential for us to have good hygiene on the mental plane also. But again, to understand this in a little more further depth, let's try to see what science has to talk about this. So again, we are taught as per the scientists of today that everything in nature, whatever we see, whatever we can comprehend, whatever we perceive, is to a great extent matter, and matter itself is one and the same. The only differences between the bodies, as we know, as we comprehend with our senses, is due to the difference in the rate of vibration of that matter. So science says that everything, anything which is matter, is actually the substance is same, but it's different. We are able to comprehend it in a different way because of rate, different rates of vibration of the molecules. Now, further from this, if we try to understand from the theosophical perspective, we realize that each thought which is generated is again a field of energy, and each field of energy is related to the rate of vibration. So, like Lord Buddha said, man is a bundle of thoughts. So, each man is again a specific rate of vibration, which is the totality of the thoughts. Now, like the vibrations of the musical note, according to the various notes in relation to each other, harmony or discord is produced. Similarly, harmony or discord is produced in the human also, based on their thoughts. Now, this harmony or discord is produced where? The effects are seen where? They are seen on the cellular level, on the level of organs, on the level of the body. Now, if you take a particular person, this person who is the collective net of the thoughts is again a collective vibration. The net of this vibration could be termed as the chord of the Mars in terms of musical notes. Now, this chord of Mars is comparatively simple if we just consider the physical body. So it's kind of a signature, a kind of a unique representation of that person. Now, in theosophy, we are also taught that man has seven bodies. This is not just one body, the physical body which we know. We have other six bodies also. So if we consider these seven bodies or the sheaths of the soul, then we realize that from this analogy and correspondence, each sheath or each body would again be vibrating at a particular chord, and the net of all this is what man is. So from this perspective, things become little complicated to understand and comprehend. However, one must realize that each body has effect on the other body, and the vibration of each body is interrelated and intra-related to the other sheath. So, if we are able to comprehend from this perspective and go further deep and analyze, we will realize and we could probably to a great extent find out the seat of disease in man. Because of the only fact that these sheaths or the seven bodies are interrelated and have impact and effect on each other. This again brings to our mind the same thought that the way we have physical hygiene so important in our life, we need to have hygiene of all our six other bodies too. We need to have mental hygiene, we need to have astral hygiene, we need to have hygiene at the karmic plane, the hygiene in terms of our desires. We have so many desires which are binding us to the world, which are pulling us down back. If we have hygiene at the plane, at the desire plane, we will realize we can refine our desires. We can realize again that on the mental plane, we can easily find out that there is so much noise, there is so much disturbance. The whole day we are thinking, we have anxiety, we have fear, we have concerns, and those vibrations are again propagating and creating a lot of disturbance. So the moment we realize that, the moment we calm that, the moment we start living in the now, as HPB again says, that there is nothing like the past or the future, everything is the present. That's when where we start to take care of the hygiene on the other planes and other bodies too. Now again, in continuation of this, if we further consider this, from this perspective we will also realize that the net state of ours is always changing. It's not that you are this particular person now and forever. You are always changing. That's why it is said that it is not that we are definitely we are having birth, rebirth, reincarnation, but reincarnation is happening every moment. Every moment your thoughts are changing. Every moment the cells in your body are dying. Every moment new cells are coming. So reincarnation is happening every moment. And that new you, the next moment, is again based on your thoughts. So again, the concept of cause, effect, the concept of Nidana comes into picture. And the net-net of cause and effects also comes into picture. Therefore, it is also said that we are in a conditioned state of existence. So our conditioned state of existence would also change from now to the next moment, to the next moment, to the next moment. And this conditioned state of existence keeps oscillating from one extreme of the spectrum to the other extreme. And we experience this as what HPB says, the fit of life. So, we must understand again that each thought, each feeling, each act attracts and again repels specific kind of elementals which are charging and magnetized. It's like the magnet which is charging the iron filings. Now these, based on the laws of attraction repulsion, either are lodged into our system or move on. Hence it is said, and hence we realize the importance of mindfulness, the importance of self-awareness, in which you are again also requested to focus on silence. I think all of us, when we were small, we were told by our parents and by our teachers that while eating food, you should not talk. Now, when we asked our teacher that why we shouldn't talk, then what we were told that if you are talking and you are eating, that the food might get stuck in your windpipe and it might cause problem. And also it causes problem to digest, so you should chew the food properly. But our wise ones, our ancients, were little more smarter than what we think, because definitely there is a lot of profound meaning behind this. They said that we need to maintain silence while eating our food, and also having good thoughts, also having higher thoughts while eating our food. Because what happens is, when we are eating our food and if we, our mind is focused on various things, various aspects, and at the same time our mind is also impacted by those discussions and those thoughts, in turn what we are doing is we are charging our food with those kind of thoughts and consuming those, that food, which again impacts our health. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, whatever actions you do, you commit unto me. Now from this perspective, if we see, while eating food, if we maintain our silence, if we also maintain our higher thoughts, and at the same time if we commit this food to the higher self, then what would happen is that we are actually attuning our thoughts on a higher plane, wherein we are saying that we are offering this food for the nourishment of this body, not for the sensory pleasures of our tongue or our appetites, but for the nourishment of this body. Because again, using analogy and correspondence, if we try to understand, food is again vibration, it's vibrating on a particular frequency, and when we try to consider the food which is vibrating on a particular frequency, we can categorize it or classify it in three broad categories. And this goes back to our devotional reading which we had. So food can also be categorized as Rajasic, Sattvic or Tamasic. Now again, from this perspective, we have the ancient teachings of Ayurveda, wherein they have the concept of Vata, Pitta and Kapha, or the air, fire and water. And the imbalance of these in the human body would create disease. Again, very interesting aspect is regarding homeopathy. In homeopathy, they have the concept of extracting the essence of various herbs in nature, and what they call it as mother tincture. And then when they give, either they give a mother tincture, or what they give is the medicine in the form of some potency. The potency could be graded as 12, 30, 60, 200 and so on and so forth. Samuel Hahnemann in Germany, who came with the concept of homeopathy, he realized after a lot of experiments that if a person is diseased and if he is given an appropriate medicine which is the optimal cure, so called optimal cure, it, if it is consumed as is, like how allopathy gives us, it cures, but it cures to a certain extent, it's symptomatic. However, he realized if you have a medium wherein you have some part of the medicine, not the complete. For example, if you have, let's say, 30 parts in 1000. In 1000 parts, you have just 30 parts of the medicine. Or if you have even less, in 1000 parts, you have just 10 parts of medicine. Or in 1000 parts, you have just 5 parts of medicine. So the impact or the influence or the effect which it has on the human body varies. And then reducing, you can dilute it. So what happens is, let's say in 1000 parts of water, you have 999 parts of water or the medium. could be anything, glycerin, could be any medium. The remaining one part could be the medicine. So reducing the potency of the medicine reaches to an extent where it is almost an idea, it's almost a thought. However, it is found that this again affects the human body in different ways. We also should realize that when we say that there is a diseased body or a person is suffering from some disease or health condition, it doesn't mean that that person may be having an unhealthy mind or unhealthy disposition or unhealthy way of living. It's not necessary, because as WQJ also explains us, the karma flows in a different way on the physical, in a different way on the other six bodies. So the way the karma is flowing on the physical body is not necessarily how the karma is flowing on the mental and the astral body of the person. So there is no, you cannot say that if a person is unhealthy, that is the only reason because he or she is not having good thoughts. However, thoughts again do affect, do impact. Now, taking this into consideration, if we take one step further from this perspective, we can realize that the entire creation, what we observe, everything around us, the entire nature is actually vibrating. The entire nature is actually electromagnetic in nature. The entire nature has a center of energy. Now, this whole orchestra of energy is, or you could also call the electromagnetic dance of energy, is either collectively attuning or harmonizing towards the absolute, or it is creating a discord. And each one of us, because of the way we act, because of the way we live, because of the way we think, contribute to this harmony or this discord. Hence, it becomes very essential, it becomes our responsibility to have a perfect hygiene, not only on the physical plane, hygiene on the mental plane, hygiene on the other planes, wherein we can attune ourselves, we can synchronize ourselves and achieve a fine balance, where the true harmony, the true inner harmony can be restored according to the laws of nature, not only on the physical plane but on all the planes. And because of the very fact that we are interconnected, that harmony will resonate in the nature, and that harmony will have impact on one and all. So again, when a person thinks about this and tries to live a life wherein he is trying to restore the harmony, but then at the back of his or her mind, it's just the personal health, it's just the personal well-being, then again a very important point is what he or she has missed, is that no one of us can ever achieve a complete so-called immaculate amazing health until and unless we realize that our health is not only dependent on our hygiene, it is also dependent on others' hygiene. And the very fact that since we are all related, the hygiene of all, the cumulative humanity, is what matters. And once that desire comes in us and that thought comes in us, that we not only need to restore our harmony and our hygiene, we need to at least try to restore and help others to restore their hygiene and harmony, then and only then the entire suffering of humanity can be removed. then and only then the entire humanity would be resonating on the one chord. And this vibration, this loving vibration, once generated in us and in others, will become like a touchstone, or maybe you could call it the elixir of life, which will have the power to remove the suffering. And this life force, this true loving vibration, is also known as universal brotherhood, and whose frequency of vibration is nothing but compassion. So this is a very important lesson which nature teaches us. While we suffer, we have pain, we have disease, it's not that it is coming from nowhere. It has a profound meaning. There is a meaning behind suffering, there is a meaning behind pain, there is a meaning behind each and everything in our life. There is nothing in our life which is trivial or has no meaning. All we need to do is try to understand and try to introspect, try to look behind it, try to look deeper in it and realize the meaning. Since life is nothing but a school wherein we are here to learn, so if we are able to imbibe the right attitude of mind, the right thought which relates to right action, in turn we are impacting and influencing the various lives which form us, and also we are impacting and influencing the people and lives around us, which in turn impact and influence the people around them. So it's like generating a wave of vibration, you being a center, and like the ripples on the pond, that entire wave of vibration is going throughout the universe. So similarly, we should also understand that when we think, when we interact during our life, there are so many subtle thoughts which come and go. You may not be even comprehending about it, you may not be even conscious about it. And those seeds become the centers of habit energies, which again and again bring similar kind of thoughts. So again, the importance comes about the right teachings, about right living, about right company. Again, when we think of company, it's not only the company of friends and family, it's also the company of thoughts which you keep. Or what is more important is the company of thoughts which you encourage. In life, we have various situations. Some good, some bad. Again, what is important is during that situation, how we react to that situation. What is not important that what happened. Let's say some big crisis happened in your life. Then the way we react to that situation would create a center of energy, would create again a center of disharmony in yourself. Because let's say you have extreme grief, you have extreme sorrow, that would immediately impact your stress level, it would immediately impact your blood pressure, and your heart will get impacted, and maybe the other organs will also get impacted. People have gone into a fit of shock, and even somebody hears somebody's death, that person suddenly collapses unconscious. Why? Because that intense thought had such an intense impact on the body. But then again, how do we deal with such kind of situations? So if we again realize, the key is that it's not what happens, what's important is how do you react to it. So the moment you realize the importance of mindfulness and the importance of right company of thoughts, what would happen is it's not a process which will happen immediately. Over the period of time, when you have kept good attitude, good mental furniture, good set of habits, good mental hygiene, then over a period of time, when these kind of situations occur, all these good habits of mental hygiene would help you. So this actually is something which one needs to continuously, constantly think about, because the moment we, let's say, leave out of this room and we start our normal day-to-day life, what would happen is we would again get, I would say, back to where we are, wherein we are again attuning or getting unconsciously attuned to our way of living, wherein we are not consciously observing our acts and our thoughts. So I'll leave it at here for few question and answers. Okay, if I understand the question correctly, you are saying, are there any techniques which need to be adopted to have a balanced state of this vibration?
Method of practice.
Method of practice. Yes, definitely. See, first of all, we need to understand that since every thought is generating a kind of a change in your net vibration, or a change in your way of living and acting, you need to, as discussed in the discussion in the talk, you need to align your thoughts to the right vibration. You need to align your thoughts to the absolute, to the higher. So that is only possible by two things. One is try to comprehend and understand to the best of your capabilities that what those higher thoughts mean when you come across the teachings. So try to read and understand the teachings to the best of your possible extent. The next would be, try to contemplate on the teachings all the time. Whenever your mind is available, apart from your day-to-day chores or activities, whenever you think your mind is getting diverted, you align it back to those teachings and try to contemplate and try to find the inner meaning, because that meaning would flower after some time, wherein you would realize the true meaning behind it, and that's when you start living that kind of life. So what would happen is, you are trying to understand, you are trying to contemplate, and at the same time you are acting and living based on those thoughts. When this happens, automatically your vibrations, or you yourself, will get attuned and harmonized by nature. So to reiterate and summarize your question, you are saying, if you have four different answers, which one to choose? Or you have different situations in life, you are in a dilemma, what needs to be done? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Okay. See, in any situation of life, there are two aspects to it. One is your one aspect of mind which is pulling you towards the materialism, and the other aspect of the mind which is guiding you and showing you the light of the higher self. So what you need to understand is, the moment you use the key, or the main, I would say, the main touchstone or the key, which is law of compassion, which is the law of laws in that situation, and try to understand that, how can I act which is beneficial to others in this situation? How can I live my life which is of good and benefit to others, that's where you will make a right decision. To act and live as the self of others, wherein you, all your acts, all your thoughts are actually, think of as, supposingly, if you are in other person's situation, how will your actions impact the other person? So there could be some situations wherein only you are involved, there could be some situations where other people are involved. The situations where only you are involved is, if the act or the decision which you are going to make, what's the motive behind it? Is the motive materialistic gains? Or is the motive living a higher life for the benefit of mankind? So this is one litmus test which you can do every time. See, if you read Voice of Silence, it says that the light from the one master, the higher self, is always there, which is your higher self, which is always there to guide you. It is only because of our noise or the thoughts or the so much engrossment in the material plane that we are not able to hear that voice, or we are not able to see that light. So that is always there. So the moment you clear up the garbage, the dust in your mind, the moment you have that mental hygiene, automatically that light or that sound which you are referring to will be there. It's already there. It's only that hygiene is not there. Definitely. But then we need to also understand what exactly do we mean by yoga and what exactly do we mean by meditation. So there are two types of yogas. One is which you do once in a while for a specified time. The other type of yoga is which you do throughout your life. And this becomes a pattern, and cyclically it creates a center of energy and it becomes a habit energy. So if you realize there is a tremendous impact of thoughts and mental hygiene on your physical life and on all your bodies. So the very fact that if you are able to do yoga of your mind, wherein you are actually doing what Patanjali says in Yoga Aphorisms, which is nothing to do with pranayama, which is nothing to do with complicated postures, which is nothing to do with the different breathing exercises. It is only to do with your mind and with your thoughts. So wherein if you assign a particular time and try to at least start contemplating on higher thoughts, or try to comprehend the thoughts or the teachings, then what will happen is that with using the law of cycles, if you again and again during that same time try to contemplate, you would get more and more insights. Now this is one which you can do any time in the day. The second, what you can do is throughout the day, whatever you are doing, irrespective of that, try to align your mind. That is again yoga. So throughout the day you are performing that yoga and keeping in mind the motive, wherein it's not for gain of knowledge, it's for gain of nothing, it's for only benefit of the mankind. So that's when it becomes yoga throughout your life. Not only throughout your life, it continues and maybe the next life also, and the next life also, and the next life also. So that kind of yoga is what is beneficial, and that kind of a yoga which is what we need to do, and that kind of yoga is which helps in again mental hygiene.